בטחים גם יחד הנה מה טוב הנה מה טוב לילה 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 לילה.
Welcome to this week's message from Rabbi Kevin Solomon, Senior Rabbi of Congregation Beth Hillel in Roswell, Georgia. Beth Hillel is one of the largest Messianic Jewish synagogues in the world and provides a place where Jewish people can find the Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus in Hebrew, and retain their Jewishness. It's also where Gentiles worship and embrace the roots of the faith in drawing closer to God. Click the link in the description to support this ministry or to view our YouTube channel. Let's join Rabbi Kevin now as he shares this word from Scripture.
So we're continuing now in the series based on some of the sayings of our founding rabbi, Robert Solomon. The series is called The Wisdom of... Very good. You know it. Okay, great. Do I still have a good many more quotes to go? Oh, yeah, actually, I do. He had so many fantastic quotes. And I've taken each quote and kind of built a whole sermon around it. And so because they were so not purely as an homage, but because they taught us something seminally important. John chapter 10. It's interesting. A lot of people ask, a lot of people think, wow, Hanukkah is Hanukkah in the Bible? And it's a little ironic. There's a touch of irony here. Why? Because, of course, technically what's referred to as the Hebrew Bible, the Tanakh, it is not in. And then, and what Jewish people think of as the Christian Bible with the new covenant, it is in. And that's a little ironic there. Of course, we know that it's because of the timing of it. It was intertestamental. The story of Hanukkah is intertestamental, happened in between the Tanakh and the Brit Chadashah. Okay. And so fair enough. But we also know that the new covenant is a Jewish book also. My good friend, Rabbi Matt Rosenberg, famously, I remember one time, took his Bible and he went to the page that was in between the Old and the New Covenants, and he went and ripped it out. And it was like, you know, anytime anybody rips a Bible, you always go, it just doesn't feel right. Except for the fact that, of course, it was just merely the middle page. And he was illustrating the fact that it's one book. One book. Same author, you know what I'm saying? And so same inspiration. And so in any case, a real blessing for sure. And so Hanukkah in the New Covenant, where Yochanan chapter 10, verse 22, then came Hanukkah. It was winter in Jerusalem. Yeshua was walking in the temple around Solomon's colonnade. Very interesting. There it is. There's Yeshua. So Hanukkah occurred, as I mentioned, intertestamental. It happened nearly 200 years before Yeshua was celebrating it in the temple area in his day that we just read about. It's about 200 years earlier. The story of Hanukkah, such a powerful story, a story about how the Maccabees revolted against the Assyrian Greeks and retook Jerusalem and the temple. And of course, at that point, they rededicated the temple, which is why the holiday is called the Feast of Dedication, because we're remembering the rededication of the temple. This was Zerubbabel's temple, the second temple, which also most people today, or many people, they call it Herod's temple, but this was before Herod remodeled it. It was Zerubbabel's. It was the second temple, though, and it's a powerful story of redemption. I absolutely love Hanukkah. I hope you love Hanukkah too. Saved our people yet again thousands of years ago, and it's the same today. The Lord is merciful and graceful, although the adversary fights hard against us. But the Lord is victorious. Amen. Hanukkah, I love it. You know, some of you remember a season when you were dating, and if you're in a dating relationship, and you don't even have to be married to understand this conceptually, when you're in a dating relationship, there comes a time, there comes a moment where you reach a decision point. right? I mean, that just kind of makes sense, doesn't it? When you're dating, you know, you might be dating for a few days, a few weeks, a few months, but at some point, there comes that moment where it's that decision point. And the question is this the relationship? Is this the one? Is this the relationship? You all know what I'm talking about, either experientially or conceptually. Is this the one? Because beyond the simple, you know, liking each other and playfulness, there comes a moment where you have to decide if this is for real and if this is for good in a relationship. And honestly, it's a pretty profound thing to contemplate, to work out in your head, because man, the ramifications of that decision are huge and lifelong for that matter. And it really doesn't matter. You know how some people just kind of in life, in their persona, and maybe even when they're dating, they play around a lot. They play games sometimes. It doesn't matter how much you want to play games. This is an intensely serious decision. Because, brother, sister, if you move forward at that decision point, you better move forward. There's no half measures at that point. You get what I'm saying? Mark chapter 12, please. Mark 12. Let's look at Mark 12. Very interesting. These moments in life. Okay, so Yeshua was walking around with his disciples, and they came across these Pharisees, these Torah scholars, and they engaged. Yeshua engaged the Torah scholars, and it was a very amicable and amenable discussion. And they really, very much, in many ways, saw eye to eye. Mark chapter 12, verse 28, it says this: one of the Torah scholars came, and he heard them debating. Seeing that Yeshua had answered them well, he asked Yeshua, "Which commandment is first of all?" I love that question. I got to think that if that question wasn't in the Bible, and okay, let's pretend for a second that question's not in the Bible, and then you're alive today, and they said, okay, if you could go back and ask Yeshua one question that doesn't have to do with you personally, what question would you ask? That may actually be the question that is asked more than any other question. I think that Torah scholar was very astute to ask Yeshua that question. What commandment is numero uno? You know, if you don't know the holy language, that means number one, okay? What commandment is most important? That's a really deep, astute question to ask Rabbi Yeshua. I think that's pretty good. Let's hear what he says, because, you know, probably pretty important. Verse 29, Yeshua answered, "The first is," wait for it, "Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love Adonai your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength." Wow, that's powerful. It's very interesting as I think about that, and I think about the Shema, and I think about what Yeshua says here. I was in Israel about a month ago, a little over a month ago, some of you remember. And when I was there, I got a chance to spend some time with an Orthodox friend of mine, an Orthodox Israeli who I see oftentimes when I go to Israel, and I spend time with them. And we have a really, really fantastic relationship. And I spent some time talking with him about lots of different things. But after a while, we started talking about Yeshua. And he said, we were talking, he knows an awful lot about Yeshua, and even though he's Orthodox, I queried him a little bit stronger, and it's like, what exactly is your kind of hold up on considering Yeshua? And he said, well, you know, what's central to us in Judaism is that the Shema, you know, it says that God is one. I told him, wow, we agree. In fact, Yeshua agrees. Yeshua himself agrees. And I shared with him and I read with him that passage where Yeshua says, yeah, the Shema is the most important commandment. It's at the top of the list. He calls it the greatest commandment. I explained how this is what Yeshua said and how he and the Father are indeed echad, how he and the Father are indeed one. And it's interesting because he looked at me with a little bit of a befuddled look, like, well, I haven't heard that one before. That seems a little unusual. And I could tell I threw him a little bit for a loop with that, with the answer as you're thinking about it, because Yeshua himself says this is number one. Very interesting. I know it gave him some things to think about. I'm going to continue to follow up with him. But what's also interesting about this story here that we read is that Yeshua lays out what is most important. And friends, if you want to kind of summarize what Yeshua, Messiah, Moshiach, says is most important, if I could put it in one word, here's the word: all. All. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. All, 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 all. It's not a laundry detergent commercial, by the way. Yet, friends, most people are not all in. In fact, not at all. You think about most people who claim to be believers in the United States, in our country, right? Most believers in this country can talk a really good game that they believe in God. It's interesting because we all know that people, just because you claim to be a believer doesn't mean you really are. And just merely believing in God in general is not enough. We read that in James chapter 2. Safira talked about that some in her Tuesday night testimony. But the point here is that all in is what we need to be, my friends. And most people today, even if they claim to believe in God, clearly are not acting upon it. Do they really feel this way about God? Do they really feel that they love God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength? Based on their actions, the answer is clearly no. Most believers in this country do not love the Lord their God with all their heart, soul, mind, strength. All. And you would think that they should. Why? Because, well, their Messiah, our Messiah Yeshua, says it's the greatest commandment. You know, friends, if the Messiah of the world says this is the greatest thing, this is the number one commandment, you'd kind of think that we should probably pay attention to it. It should probably be a point of focus for us. It probably only makes sense that if this is the most important thing, that probably the other commandments filter out of this one, which makes sense. And if you indeed do love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, then friends, you are going to follow his other commandments because you're loving him all with everything. And yet that is clearly not what the believing community of the United States is doing. Even though Messiah says it's the central part of the faith, number one. And for that matter, what about our Jewish people? Sheesh. The majority of our Jewish people in the United States are secular. Secular. They rarely think about God. Only maybe sometimes a little bit during the high holy days, and then often transactionally. There is very similarly not an all-in mentality amongst our people. And yet, remember, this is the most important passage in Judaism as well. It's so interesting that the most important passage is the same in Judaism and in Christianity. It's the same. And so how interesting. So are Jewish people likewise, even though we say the Shema and the Vayehavta, they don't go all, even though they're commanded. And if you ask any Jewish person, like my Orthodox friend in Israel, what is the central tenet of our faith? Shema. It's the Shema. And yet our people aren't doing it either. What's going on in the adherents of neither faith seem to be doing it much? Interesting thing to contemplate. A pig and a chicken. It's already good, isn't it? It's already good. A pig and a chicken heard about a church's program to feed the hungry. The pig and the chicken discussed how they could help. And the chicken said, "Let's offer them bacon and eggs." Let you think about that for a minute. "Not so fast," said the pig. "For you, that's a contribution. For me, it's a total commitment." I love that one. First Kings 18, please. First Kings 18. We're not going to read the whole story. I think many of you know it. If you don't, it's a great chapter in the Bible. Eliyahu, Elijah the prophet, was called to Mount Carmel. Ooh, I love Mount Carmel in Israel. It's a special place. You remember, there's a Messianic congregation on the top of Mount Carmel, one of the most beautiful, I think, Messianic congregations in the whole world. You know what? I'm going to give you some trivia. I don't know if you know this, Caswells, because they've been with me to that congregation on the top of Mount Carmel, is that the designer of that, which I think is the most beautiful Messianic synagogue in the world, is the same architect that designed our front sign. Isn't that interesting? Can you, I don't think I've ever said that. That's cool, isn't it? That's really neat. Hey, yeah, you know, he's an architect. Our guitar player today is an architect. So I'm telling you what, he's very structured. okay, so in any case, Elijah was at the top of Mount Carmel to face the 450 prophets of Baal, okay? So it was a contest of the supernatural, which God would send fire from heaven to burn up the sacrifice that was offered. Well, again, I'm not going to read the whole story. You know the end of the story as the God of Elijah showed up big time. But what's interesting to me relative to what I'm sharing with you today is, what is the challenge that Elijah threw down to the children of Israel before the challenge was met? So this was before. So you got Elijah, one prophet of God, one dude, 450 prophets of Baal. Okay, and they were in a competition, which was the true God, the God of the one guy or the God of 450? By the way, okay, in the world today, the ratio is probably not that much different, okay? One, 450. And so before, because Elijah knew what he had the God of the universe on his side. Okay, and so before, he challenges the children of Israel. They're all watching this competition that's going on. And he absolutely throws down the gauntlet with this challenge. Verse 21, 1 Kings 18, 21. "Then Elijah approached all the people and said this." Wow, talk about a preacher. "How long will you waver between two opinions? If Adonai is God, follow him. But if Baal is, follow him." But the people did not answer him, not even a word. Wow, that's pretty interesting. That is pretty interesting. Man, I love this challenge. I love this challenge by Eliyahu. He absolutely said, come on, how long are you going to volatile between two opinions here? You got to pick, man. If Adonai is God, okay, let's go. Let's follow him. Let's go. If Baal is God, follow him. Pick. What's great is he asks this to the people before the great miracle is seen. But the people did not respond. Why? Because they were taken with the 450 of Baal. 450. Yeah, boy, I tell you what, I like that Elijah guy. He seems like he's pretty confident, but there's 450 on this side. I mean, let's just be honest about it here. It's a pretty bad ratio. I don't know. I don't think I want to go against the 450. How long will you waver between two opinions? Chavrim, I'm going to tell you something. It is the same question today. It is the same question today. So many people in society claim they believe in God. They claim they believe in a higher power. But stop and think logically about this for a second. For just a minute, I'm taking my Georgia Tech left brain here, and let's examine if somebody actually says, I believe in God, I believe in a higher power. If they truly believe that, then why in the world wouldn't they passionately serve him? If you're talking about you believe there's a creator of the universe, why in the world wouldn't you passionately serve him? Why? Because they waver. They waver. And they enjoy serving themselves. They're like they believe in a spiritual buffet. I serve myself. They prefer serving themselves than to serving God. So what do? Well, it's interesting thinking about most people today. And this is just, I'm giving you, I think, very practical truth that I think that you'll understand and believe and relate to. If we look at this in all honesty, do most people dive headfirst into absolute hedonism and passionate selfishness? Well, you know, some do, but most don't. I'd say probably when I see somebody at the Quick Trip or I'm at the Kroger or something, okay, most people you run into, many of them are basically good people. You know, they'll be kind sometimes, and maybe they'd help an old lady across the street. Oh, that's really nice. You know, they wouldn't hit somebody over the head with a tire iron. Boing. No, they would never do something like that. And listen, that's good. I'm glad of that. I'm glad that they don't do that. I'm glad that they're not just totally. But here's the question. Do they love the Lord their God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength? The answer is no, they don't. You see what that is, my friend? So in the end, where are they on the question? How long will you waver between two opinions? You know what they are? They are silent, just like the children of Israel were in that day. If Adonai is God, serve him. If Baal is God, serve him. And so what did the people do? They were silent. That's what it was in Elijah's time. Similarly, in today's time, you know, where are the people? Well, you know, no, I don't want to serve the devil and be evil all the time. But you know, all my heart, soul, strength, and it's a bit extreme and radical for me. Just like the children of Israel during Elijah's time. We think we are so much more sophisticated than people thousands of years ago, but evidence says we're still the same. How long will you waver between two opinions? Yet people waver and are silent, and they choose to not truly, fully follow God, which is the reason why in the scriptures we have Revelation chapter 3. Turn there, Revelation 3. See, God knows this about us and about our nature, and so he gives us a clear example of some folks who are not serving God in this way, and that is the congregation at Laodicea. Revelation chapter 3, please, verse 15. Messiah says this to the congregation there, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. Oh, that you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I'm about to spew you out of my mouth. Ooh. God, that is severe. Man. What Yeshua says here to the congregation at Laodicea is consistent with what he says is the most important commandment. You see, Revelation 3, 15 and 16 parallel precisely with his answer to the Torah scholar with what is the greatest commandment. The Shema and V'ahavta, love the Lord your God with all. Do you see what he's saying? It's a very profoundly consistent answer. It's really the same answer. He says, I know your deeds. Okay, so they were doing some good things in the congregation there. They were doing some good things, but they were lukewarm. They weren't really hot, and they weren't really cold. They were lukewarm. Yeah. See, that is definitively not all in. They're mealy. They're lukewarm. I ask you today, as we're nearing the end of the year, I ask you rhetorically from mine, but I want you to really think about it. Are you hot? Are you cold? Or are you lukewarm? Don't answer out loud. Just think about it. Ooh, ooh, Rabbi. Ooh, man, I don't know if I should have come today. No, I'm glad you came today. I'm asking for us to all be all in, as what Yeshua says. Let me talk about all in for just a second, what it does not mean. Some people think all in means something that it does not. All in does not mean quitting your job and going to preach on the street. Well, I guess if I'm all in, I got to just go be a street preacher or something. I'm all in. No, it does not mean that. It simply means with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. I want to point out to you that King David had a day job. He was king. Oh, yeah. Abraham had a day job. Shadrach had a day job. Daniel had a day job. Joseph of Arimathea had a day job. Okay, it's not about being full-time in that way. It's not being about being full-time. It's about being fully sold out and dedicated to God in all that you do. Yes, even those areas. What areas? Those areas. What areas? The areas that you're thinking about. Whatever those areas are. Yeah, all. All in those areas, whatever they are. Circling back to what I talked about at the beginning, friends, the reason that the Maccabees rebelled against the Assyrians was that they wished to restore their faith in the one true God. They wished and desired to cleanse and restore the temple. Remember what had happened is that the Assyrian Greeks slaughtered pigs in the temple. I don't know if you know a lot about Judaism, but that ain't so kosher and not nice. And God did not approve. And so they wished to cleanse the temple. So what is the holiday called? It's called the Feast of Dedication. Why is it called this? Because they rededicated the temple once they took Jerusalem. They rededicated the temple, but they dedicated it to who? They dedicated it to God. That's what they were doing. Thinking about Hanukkah this week got me to thinking about dedication. True dedication, friends. You know, I talked about Mitch a little bit earlier. Mitch, and Larissa are Traegers back there. Friends, they are dedicated. They've been at Bethel for a minute. And you know what? They've been through thick and thin. That's some dedication right there. And so the Maccabees dedicated the temple to their creator. I have a question. Will you dedicate your temple to your creator? Well, good. Well, if so, it's a pretty serious thing. It's a pretty serious decision. If you look at the Feast of Dedication, as it's talked about in the Brit Hadashah, the Greek word here used for dedication is kind of unique to this holiday, and it specifically implies purification, especially of holy places, which is very interesting. Because as I said, the temple had been defiled. It had been defiled. Well, friends, you know what? Our hearts should be a holy place. And our hearts need to be purified as well. Be ye holy as he is holy. So we need that purification too. We need that dedication too. What are those old worldly things that you need to let go of? Let go of them. Let go of them. Dedicate yourself fully to him. You see, that's the all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's the all. It's dedication, to dedicate yourself fully. Friends, I'm going to tell you something. I love to laugh. Anybody who knows me knows that. I'm a bit of a goofball at times. I don't think I have to tell all of you this. You suffer. I mean, you listen every week. I love to laugh. I enjoy a good joke. No question about that. I like to have fun. I really do. I like to enjoy myself. But when it comes to serving the Lord with all of who we are, we need to strive to be more like people like Rabbi Robert Solomon. I recall him speaking, and he used to say about how he had served the devil 100%, and when the Lord saved him, he turned and served the Lord 100%. So when it came to serving God, he used to say, "I quit school because of recess. I don't play." It's one of the Vinito's favorite Rabbi Robert quotes of all time right there. It's they were hoping for that for all year. They've been waiting for that one. That's a great one. I love that one too. He used to say that, man. Woo! Oh my God. But you hear within that the absolute resolution that he had. And truly, it was there. He was not playing. Hebrews chapter 12, please. Hebrews 12. Love that. Hebrews chapter 12. I think that he's probably chuckling up in heaven right now. Hebrews 12, verse 1. Says this: "Therefore, since we have such a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also get rid of every weight and entangling sin. Let us run," listen, key, underline, "with endurance the race set before us, focusing on Yeshua, the initiator and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. And he has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you may not grow weary in your souls and lose heart." Friends, I ask you very directly, is our standard of commitment high here at Beth Hillel? The answer is, I sure hope so. I sure hope so. We should be dedicated, sold out, all in for God. What does it say? We have to run with endurance the race that we are in. Now think for just a second, right? Right, Missy? If it says if we have to run with endurance the race, why would the author include the words "with endurance"? Well, that implicitly means that it's easy to get weary. Otherwise, he wouldn't have to mention that it has to be with endurance. It would just be a cakewalk. come to faith in Yeshua and just cakewalk your way to heaven. Okay, but it doesn't say that. No, no, no. It says you have to run with endurance. It takes some endurance, my friends. That means it's easy to get weary. We need that endurance. It's easy to give up or get off course, but we cannot. That means in each and every area of our hearts, we need to not hold back. Is that your attitude today? Are you loving, I'm asking you, are you loving the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength? And if so, by the way, it's not a conceptual thing. Yes, I love the Lord my God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. Oh, you do? Yes, that's what I'm saying. Love is an action word. Love is an action word. If you truly love the Lord your God with all your soul, mind, heart, and strength, this is something that should be seen. It should be something you do, because love is an action word. Friends, if you decide to marry someone, if you get to that point, you decide to marry someone, I'm going to tell you something that I certainly will emphasize in marital counseling, but it doesn't take a great counselor to understand this. If you decide to marry somebody, you can't go into it half effort. If you go into it half effort, I'm going to tell you what, it's doomed to fail. Anybody who goes, there are enough challenges. People, you know, sometimes people, I see young people, especially, sometimes they get married and it's like they have stars in their eyes. You know, it's like, oh, and they're like walking, but they're stepping on clouds as they're walking. Oh, dreamy, 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 you know. But we all know the real world, if I could put it this way, ain't like that. It's hard. And it's hard in a marriage. And if you're making half effort, there's no shot. Half effort. No, 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 my friends. Well, if we understand this about a marriage, someone that we claim to love, and we know we can't be half effort in our marriage because it won't work, how much more so considering how much we should love God? If we truly love God with all, then even more so, we should not be half effort when it comes to Him. So that means that we should make the sacrifices that are needed. Are you going to make the sacrifices that are needed? Well, you're not if you're not all in. If you're half effort, you're not going to make the sacrifices needed. Is it always easy? Of course not. Ergo, the word sacrifice. Right? You have to purpose within yourself that you will not hold back. You won't hold back, beloved. Here's the amazing thing. If you really don't hold back, you will be the most joyful, the most content, the most fulfilled person that you could possibly be if you give Him your all. Because guess what? He gave His all for you. He is all in for you. Title of my message is All In. Let's bow our heads. I want to ask if there's anybody here who's never said a prayer to receive Yeshua as their Messiah. If that is you, then how about today? It was so interesting, y'all. Last night, the message on All In and about, hey, listen, you need to go all in. And there was this Jewish woman, this Jewish mother who had been thinking about this for some time, raised her hand and committed her life to Yeshua last night. And I said, wow, how cool a message. It's all in. She goes all in. It's really amazing. If you're here today and you've never said a prayer to receive Yeshua into your heart, but you'd like to, raise your hand and we'll pray. If that's you, If you've never committed your life to God, but you want to today, you want to go all in, okay, raise your hand. We'll pray together. All it takes is an honest prayer and changing. The Lord will change your life. Is there anyone? Just lift your hand. If that's you, we'll pray together. Lord, I want to pray for each and every person who's here. God, I pray that we have a congregation that loves you with all our heart, mind, strength, soul. Lord, with everything that we have within us. Lord, I pray that our congregation is truly a congregation of all in, that we are all in. God, and that we're fully dedicated to you in this Hanukkah, the Feast of Dedication, where we remember how the temple was rededicated to you. Lord, let us rededicate our own temples, our own lives to you, recognizing, God, that you are the reason that we're here as our creator. And furthermore, you gave your all for us. You sent your son in the most beautiful and sacrificial and most all-in thing that I could have even imagined. Who can even fathom such a thing? So beyond deserved. And yet you did this for us, Lord. So Lord, let us be absolutely dedicated, sold out to you. Thank you, God, so much for touching us, for inspiring us, for directing us, for leading us, for guiding us. God, so that we would go all in for you. I thank you for this, for a wonderful congregation, for the holiday of Hanukkah, and for you saving us yet again, Lord. Save us even now, Hoshiana. Thank you, God, for all these things. In Yeshua's name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message from Rabbi Kevin. Please like, subscribe, and share this link with a friend. We would be grateful to receive your tax-deductible gift to further the good news of Messiah Yeshua. To make a contribution, please click on the PayPal link in the description. Also, to view our regular services, click the link in the description for our YouTube channel. If you would like more information about Yeshua the Messiah or how you can become part of our Bethel El family, please visit our website at www.bethelel.org. That's BETHALLEL.org. Or call 770-641-3000. If you are in the Metro Atlanta area, please visit us for an Arab Shabbat service, Friday nights at 8 o'clock, or Shabbat services, Saturday mornings at 11. God bless and Shalom.